no role plays, just real. Chris and Lorenzo share four decades of combined experience to help you become a more effective leader.
We've never really, as a workforce, spent a lot of time on making sure we're developing good leaders.
We'll be able to share stories, experience, mistakes, failures, successes.
This is Hacking Your Leadership.
Welcome to Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Chris.
And I'm Lorenzo.
And Lorenzo, about a month ago, maybe a month and a half, I received an invite on LinkedIn to a secret or hidden group called the Break Room Retail and Customer Service. And there's some pretty interesting things on there. The amount of positivity, the amount of people being complimentary toward each other and genuine helpful responses to the questions that people are putting on there and discussions that are being posed on there, that felt different to me than a lot of other groups that I've been invited to in the past. I want to talk about a couple of the things that I've seen on there, but I want to know, have you had a similar experience?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it's interesting because it's a large group. They have almost 110,000 members. But to your point, what I've really enjoyed about it, and I've been a part of a lot of groups, and in a lot of groups specific to retail, obviously it's kind of, you know, the career that we've had for a long time. And the vast majority of those groups, you know, are just places where people get a chance to vent and share stories and can you believe this, can you believe that? And I think every group has a little bit of that. But what I really appreciate about this specific group is what you said, which is that people come on here, they take polls, they ask questions, they share where they're running into hurdles, where they're having some opportunities. And almost within minutes, you have other people jumping in and saying, hey, I'm feeling the same pain over here. Or, hey, this is what we've tried. This is what we've solved. And, you know, a big part of what we've always discussed on our podcast is finding places and leaders to help make leaders better leaders. And I can wholeheartedly tell you that this group, and again, I don't know, you know, how many people can get invited or what this looks like. But this group is one of those places that is offering a value to those in the group and a real true value to those that are looking to better themselves from a leadership standpoint or just trying to get their business better. So I completely agree. I'm really happy with the group and I've just been enjoying to kind of go through it and, you know, read and see what's going on and see the responses and just have enjoyed my time in it.
Yeah, me too, me too. The topic that I want to talk about is something that that I got from this group, and it's based on kind of a multitude of posts on this group that have happened over the last few days that all, you know, seem to kind of tell a common story on a very real issue that is impacting a lot of people across the workforce right now. And, you know, it's interesting, as we're talking about this and about to record this, someone else posted on the group about the exact same thing again, and just kind of solidifies in my mind that this really is a relevant topic. And so I want to start with reading a couple of things to you, and I want to get your thoughts on it. The first thing I can see at the very top of the page here is a woman named Michelle, and she says, looking for some advice, I'm challenged by finding part-time sales associates and supervisors. I'm also looking to fill a full-time assistant manager position. I've hosted in-store hiring events, social media postings, networking, all the things I've always been successful with. I need to think differently. What are you doing? How are you finding people? Looking forward to all your suggestions on here and how you've addressed sourcing candidates differently. If I scroll down to a couple of days earlier, Howard writes, 29 people reside in this state, but McDonald's has to close at 8 p.m. because they can't find anyone who wants to work. And it's a picture of a sign on the front of a McDonald's that says, we are very sorry, but we are closing early due to short staff for work. Sorry for the inconvenience. Sincerely, the management. And it just kind of, it belies an issue across the workforce right now that you can, you know, read the news. It says there are more than 10 million job openings across America. And I'm sure in other areas it might be, in other countries it might be similar. A lot of it is due to, you know, the COVID response in a lot of places included making sure people had the necessary funds to not become homeless or starving or destitute in the event that they were furloughed. And because so many people were included in that, even if they weren't furloughed or let go, it's, I think, in my opinion, it's making people reevaluate their own priorities as far as what's important to them for work. And there are a lot of people who are actually saying, you know, I never enjoyed this work, whatever it was I was doing anyway. It's kind of worth it to me to make a lot less money, but know that I'm not doing anything that I don't love doing, but it's creating a serious hole in the workforce in these industries. You know, what have you seen something similar?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll even include, like, I think those that got furloughed were kind of forced into that space. Like,
sure.
What am I going to do? Am I going to get another job potentially? But those were hard to come by, as a lot of organizations and companies were furloughing or sometimes closing. You know, what other things can I get into? What are my passions? Where can I apply what I do to start my own business? Like, there was a lot of that happening. And I think that, you know, both of those sides of the coin are greatly impacting, you know, the workforce and what's available that's out there. So it's an interesting time. And I think, you know, pile on the ability to have some time to yourself to either, to your point, rethink how you prioritize life, or find yourself kind of into doing something different now from a career, from a small business standpoint, to where now it's like, you know, companies and organizations are really having to think a little bit differently. And I don't know necessarily that compensation is going to be the thing that changes it all. I really don't. Like, I think that there are many companies, organizations, industries where an increase in compensation will be helpful. But I think what you were saying, and I think what a lot of people are talking about now, is that it's more than the money. It's actually wanting to do things that I enjoy. I think from being a lifelong retailer and looking at the industries and people that are working, here's also what I see, though. There are still many people employed. There are still many people doing these jobs in different companies, in different organizations. There are people that are working in retail and have either made that their career choice or enjoy the work. And so what I think is going to end up happening, and, you know, my advice to Michelle would be, like, you're probably going to have to go out there, walk your malls, walk these stores, find people that are currently working in a similar type of store and or industry, and you're probably gonna have to go out there and make some friends, and you're probably gonna have to go out there and buy some cups of coffee and do some, like, actual in the field recruiting to start to build some relationships, because, you know, those people that are available are the ones that are currently deciding to work. And that would be kind of my, you know, immediate band-aid on, here's maybe something you can do quickly to potentially get a little bit of talent, especially if you're hiring for, like, leadership roles and kind of career level roles where you might be able to get a chance to recruit somebody. The kicker is that most companies are kind of fighting for all the same talent. Mm-hmm. So you're probably going to have to work closely with your recruiting team or your HR team to make sure that if you need to, recruit somebody and utilize compensation or benefits or some things to get them, that's probably what's going to be necessary.
Right, right. The thing that I think about when I see this is, if I'm a customer deciding where to shop, right, I look for differentiators. Like, why would I shop at place A versus place B if it's to buy the same thing? And to me, it's like, okay, what's the differentiator? What does place A offer that B doesn't? When you're talking about a job market, potential employees are looking at it the exact same way. What does place A offer that place B doesn't? And I'll tell you, in a lot of these organizations in the retail and customer service segment, the people who are in charge of filling these roles, the people who are feeling the same frustration that Michelle is feeling, those people typically don't have a lot of control over what the compensation is. There are little windows and there's ranges, you know, stuff like that. But you can't just arbitrarily say, well, it looks like I can't find anybody unless I pay, you know, this much more. Let's just go ahead and do that. Most of these places, there's a leadership structure outside the store, a broader structure that kind of dictates what that is, and the people doing these hiring, the hiring itself don't really have a lot of that control. That being said, where they do have control is over what is known as employer brand. What is your differentiator as an employer? So Michelle and anybody else in the same situation who are having a difficult time finding people, understand that when you feel like you can't find people because the pay isn't high enough, it's not like the people in a competing organization in the same industry are all of a sudden able to pay double what you can pay. If that was the case, then you got to rethink it from an entire compensation standpoint. Chances are the other jobs that you feel like you can't compete with for people, they don't have any different pay structure than you have. They're probably very, very similar. What are they doing differently to say, this is why you want to work here? And it's not about the pay. Because in a lot of these roles, it's not about the pay. The pay is kind of like the cost of admission. But what sets you apart from others is going to be checking those boxes that a lot of employees have started saying to themselves, this is what is important to me. And it could be things like just having a leadership team that demonstrates that they care about the employees. That the idea of the people that work there are more than just what they can do for you, but in essence, what can you do for them? How are you going to help them with growth and development? You can say, hey, you know what, the pay is this. This is what it is, you know? But here's what you get on top of it. I have a commitment to you, if you're reporting to me, that we're going to sit down every single month and we're going to talk about your progress, because I know that growth is incredibly important. And in a lot of these organizations, you're not going to get that. You're not going to get someone who says you're committed to growth. The talks are going to be about what you're doing wrong and how you can do the job better, not how you can use this job as a springboard into something else or take those skills. And I can help you get there. And these are the things that I can do. These are the differentiators that are going to let leaders of people hire well in places where you really don't have a lot of control over the compensation.
Yeah, no, I love that point, because I think one of the differentiators in the world, and specifically in retail, really is leadership. And it's funny, because somebody else, I saw a post a day ago, somebody named Carrie, she said that a job that she started in retail, she says, it was fun, my boss was fun, really made us a team by being empathetic and caring. And like, those things matter. Leadership matters in these spaces. Your approach to finding people, exactly what you're saying. What are you talking about to people when you're recruiting and when you're hiring? What does your language sound like besides saying, we have this job that's open and we start at this amount of money, versus saying, hey, you know, my name is Lorenzo and I'm looking for people in this industry that have a passion for our customers and that are looking for personal and professional growth. As a leader in my business, I know how important it is to make sure that my people have a career path, that they're challenged, and that they're celebrated when they have success, right? If this sounds like the environment you want to work in, come apply here, right? That's very different than, we have full-time benefits. Mm-hmm. We have tuition reimbursement.
Right.
We have a flexible work schedule. Those things do matter. They absolutely matter. But when the approach is slightly different, and when it's about you and you're putting yourself out there as a leader and saying, I'm going to hold myself accountable and make these commitments in public, that's a very different approach that I think people would appreciate. Now, the thing about that is that you got to be a good leader and you got to have a good track record, right?
Right.
The last thing you want to do is make that statement somewhere and then your ex-employees jump in and they're like, no, he's
no.
a jerk. He doesn't
yeah.
like no, right. like that's yeah. not you got to be conscious of that. But I just think that what you're talking about, that matters so much And if people have choices about doing a similar job in two different places where pay is maybe around the same area, you know, benefits matter, schedules do matter, empathy matters, having fun matters, and leadership truly matters.
And as you just said, calling out that you have those things matters too. I mean, what is a job posting or a networking event? It's an advertisement, right? You have a product that you're trying to sell, and that is a job. You need to have people in it. And right now, the supply far exceeds the demand. And when the supply far exceeds the demand, your advertisement has to start with whatever putting your best foot forward is. Your best foot forward is not the things that everybody else has too. Your best foot forward are the things that you believe sets you apart and sets your organization, your place of business apart from others. Why would somebody want to be there versus somewhere else? You have to assume that the compensation and the benefits are going to be pretty much the same. Like, meaning not different enough where that is going to be a life-changing amount of difference to make somebody decide, you know what, I can't stand this job, but I just can't leave it. The pay is just too amazing and the benefits are just too amazing. There are companies who consult whose sole job it is is to talk to organizations and let them know what other people in the same space are doing so that they can do something similar. And it's a combination of it's cynical to say it's a race to the bottom. It could also be a race to the top, whatever you want to call it. But what it is it produces a lot of sameness across many industries when it comes to pay. You have to say what makes this place better, and it can't have anything to do with pay and benefits. You mentioned those are the footnotes. That's the copy and paste of like, oh, by the way, you get this and this and this too. But the headline, the front page, the byline of what the job is talking about what you can do to support this person's growth, what you can do to take care of them as a leader, how you're supporting their mental health, how you're supporting making sure that the job you're asking them to do fits into the other things that are important to them in their life, and making a commitment to doing that. Because I promise you, there are a lot of places who don't do that right now. And if you are doing that, you will set yourself apart. You may not a year from now. It might become commonplace. But when it is, it's going to be full of people who are blowing smoke too. They say it because they know that gets people in the door, but it's not real. So at the very least, if you know you have it, start with that. Put that foot forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, let me ask you in just personal experience, you know, like, when it comes to, if you were to craft a post, let's say, like, let's just walk down this path. What does that post look like? Like, if you had to craft something that was kind of eye-catching, and I kind of gave my ramblings of what I thought you would say, but like, what would you suggest to somebody that was going to go out there and try to approach this posting in a different way to attract some attention to potentially come and work?
So, I mean, the posting part is the easy part. The harder part is the actual interaction, right? So there is no "if you build it, they will come," you know, field of dreams anymore. So having a nicely crafted job posting or whatever that talks about the things you talk about, that's an easy one to kind of wordsmith and put together. But that's still not going to get you the people you need. You need to actually go out and talk to them, obviously. And you know, I'm looking, you know, further down. It's interesting. Jennifer yesterday posts in the group, when someone approaches you about a new job, trying to get you to leave your current company, and they seem genuinely interested, they explain the role, they say what the hourly rate is, they'll offer you, and then they just go. Then they're just silent. Then they don't follow up. They don't say anything. How do you proceed? And I this is the part that kind of ties into this, because it's funny how people will look at this almost like, you know, when you meet somebody new and you go on a date, then there's always that like, when do I call them, in 1 day or 3 days? Well, I don't want to sound desperate, but I also don't want to seem uninterested. And you try to like kind of thread that needle. Like, this is not the time to play games. If you are either a person who wants a job or a person who wants to hire a person, if you want that to happen, then you need to follow up and communicate and continue going until you're told by the other person, "I'm not interested." This whole like, well, you know, I'm going to go recruit this person, but then I'm going to put it in their court, the ball's in their court to reach out to me now. We're going to see if they truly want it. Yeah, you go ahead and do that. And if you have people banging down your door for jobs, then maybe you can do that. But if you aren't in that situation, if you're in Michelle's situation, you got, you know, put your pride at the door and actually go back and say, "Hey, you know what? I know I talked to you a few days ago. I haven't heard from you, but I would like to talk to you again. I'm really interested in talking to you more about this potential job." And if you're in Jennifer's position, if you follow up and follow up again and again and again and over communicate until you're told this isn't for you. There's no way that's going to hurt you. A zest for the role and a desire to move forward doesn't make you seem desperate. It makes you seem passionate about the job. And if you're hiring a person, it makes you seem passionate about filling that role and about getting that person. So it's not the time to play games or play coy or try to see, you know, gauge the level of interest in the other person and try to play those mind games. I think this is the wrong time to do that.
Absolutely. And with that, it brings us to this episode's 1 Minute Hack. But first, a few words from our sponsors.
The 1 Minute Hack.
All right, for this episode's 1 Minute Hack, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get your pen and paper, and I want you to write down a list of the things that you have to offer a potential candidate for a job that has nothing to do with your organization. It's just about what you offer as a leader. What are the commitments that you can make to a person as a leader if they were to come work for you? Because again, remember the old adage, people don't leave companies, people leave people. And so you can put a job posting out as much as you want to from whatever the company offers, But at the end of the day, what you offer as a leader is more important. So write down those list of differentiators that you believe set you apart from other places to work, and then lead with those things. When you have conversations with people, whether you're going to them or they're coming to you, lead with those things. Assume the person has already done some research on what the pay and benefits are, or they wouldn't have reached out to begin with. Or if you're reaching out to them, make that stuff the footnote and talk about the stuff that you believe sets you apart. At the very least, it'll be approaching the conversation from a different standpoint than probably anything that person has heard in a long time or maybe ever. And then the last thing is, when you're hiring people, because the job market is such where the potential employees have all the power right now, because they're the ones that are we need more of them than they need of us right now. Every single person who you speak to needs to have a follow-up conversation. If you've decided to move ahead with somebody else and this is not the right person for the job, you need to follow up with them, hopefully in person, like in voice, but email if it has to be, to let them know that you've decided to move forward without them, and make sure that they are kind of let down gracefully, because you never know when paths are going to cross in the future or what that person's going to say about the process and how that could impact your ability to recruit talent in the future.
Yeah, I think it's a great moment to hack. And I think it's so important at this time in age when we're, you know, looking for talent and trying to fill jobs that are open, that as leaders, we stay very committed to the communication aspect of it. Like I said, whether to your point, whether we move forward with somebody or if they're not the right fit, that's okay. But continuing to stay communicative is super important, because what you don't want to do is have somebody who you say no to and you end up ghosting them, but they know somebody that you're going to say yes to and they know them personally, and you're trying to say yes to somebody and they have a friend that's been ghosted. Like, you got to be really conscious of, you know, your brand as a leader for both those that work for you, but those that potentially might work for you.
Right. In a job market where the employers have all the power because there are few positions and a lot of people want to apply, which has happened a lot in the past, hiring managers can have a tendency to not follow up with people because they don't see that need. People don't have short memories. They remember that, and then they start treating employers the same way when the tables have been turned. Stop the cycle and just be communicative and treat people the way you'd want to be treated in this.
Absolutely. And with that, it brings us to the end of this episode. This is Hacking Leadership. I'm Lorenzo.
And I'm Chris.
And we'll talk to you all next time.